Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked On Wolves. Today on the show, we're breaking down the Wolves' big overtime win over the Golden State Warriors on Wednesday night, what the Wolves did defensively to slow down Steph Curry, who was ultra hot early in the game, and also Naz Reid and D'Angelo Russell, the heroes of the fourth quarter, and in Naz's case, also overtime in this game. Also, why Anthony Edwards played so well down the stretch, even if the box score doesn't necessarily show that, and even if it was Naz that hit the biggest shot of the game. We're going to break it all down here on the show. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. Happy Thursday, everybody, and it's a victory Thursday after a big Timberwolves overtime win Wednesday night. This is, in fact, the postgame podcast. We're going to break down the Timberwolves win throughout the show here today. First of all, though, a big thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, this show is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. You can also watch on the Locked On Sports Minnesota app on both Roku and Amazon Fire TV. More great local sports coverage 24/7, and it's free. Download the Locked On Sports Minnesota app today on Roku and Amazon Fire TV. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at B-Beacon, and that's with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right, so the Wolves beat the Warriors on Wednesday, somewhat unexpectedly, a full-strength Warriors team that had won three straight games, and the Wolves, of course, still no Karl-Anthony Towns, still no Jordan McLaughlin. And Rudy Gobert was a late scratch with the return of the sore groin, the groin injury, and Naz Reid started for the Wolves. Minnesota falls behind early in this game. Steph Curry was just nuts in the first quarter. And, I mean, like, Pirouette 3 over Jaden McDaniels. Like, the stuff that we've seen Steph do for years, and he just, it feels like he's always doing it against the Wolves, but then again, he does it against basically everybody. But Steph cooled down as the game wore on. We'll talk more about that. But Golden State actually led by 9 at halftime. They led by 11 going to the fourth quarter and just kind of held the Wolves, not quite at arm's length, but like maybe at, I don't know, elbow's length for much of the game. Timberwolves got down by as many as 14 points early in the fourth quarter. With about a minute into the fourth, the Wolves were down by 14. And this leads me to my biggest takeaway, which was what the Wolves did with Anthony Edwards on the bench in the fourth quarter. That's when this run happened. So like if you didn't watch the game, you glanced at the box score, you'd say, oh man, Ant was a -9. He must not have played well. I actually don't think Ant didn't play well. And I want to get more into that later too, because I thought he played extremely well down the stretch in overtime and clearly was completely gassed. You know, the Wolves have played a ridiculous number of games in a very short span of time, which by the way, this is a very, very much a side comment. But like they've played more games than basically everybody in the West. Like just look at the standings. I haven't actually done the math, but like the teams around them, they played 3 more games than Golden State. They're in virtual ties with a bunch of teams because the Wolves have played so many more games than everyone else. Anyway, Ant was clearly gassed at the end of this game. I thought played well in overtime. But when he was off the floor, the Wolves were down 14. Ant went to the bench for a rest late third quarter, comes back in with a little over 4 minutes to play in the game. And the Wolves went on a 23-11 run with Anthony Edwards on the bench. The fourth quarter, the Timberwolves offense went Austin Rivers corner three, Naz Reid a two-pointer, and then D'Angelo Russell goes three-pointer, tough two, three-pointer, three-pointer, three-pointer. He scores 14 straight points for the Wolves. D'Angelo Russell does. Gets the Wolves to within one. Then Naz Reid hits a shot in the paint in transition, gets the Wolves a lead. And then Ant comes back in the game. The Wolves offense actually slowed down a bit. Golden State cooled the Wolves down with that timeout. And then Ant played really well in overtime, which we'll get to. But this was what we've seen a lot of over the past couple of weeks, which was D'Angelo Russell and Anthony Edwards taking turns, taking the reins of the Timberwolves offense. And it isn't always pretty, but lately, more often than not, it has been really pretty. Because when on the floor together, it's like they're understanding when they need to defer to the other one. And of course, we're not talking about that hideous D'Lo game. What was it, Monday, when he was so terrible? But for the most part, D'Lo was really good over the last 2 months. He has been. Really, actually, somewhat ironically, since about when Karl-Anthony Towns went down with the calf injury at the end of November. or maybe not ironically, but I guess ironically, given that they were kind of supposed to be this package deal, right? From the beginning, best friends, pick and roll duo, the whole thing. Now D'Lo's played extremely well now, or for the past 2 months, which he wasn't doing in October and for much of November. But then, you know, that D'Lo stretch was just unbelievable. And Marty and I talked about this on the postcast following the game that, like, when D'Lo gets hot, there's hardly anybody in the league that gets hot in the same way that D'Lo does. And that the Wolves needed it. This was one of those games where they needed that to happen. And then he just kind of went quiet for most of the rest of the game until he fouled out in overtime, a really tough offensive foul call, you know, the knee to the midsection or below the belt on offense, which was not being used to gain an advantage. This is another side comment, but really felt like incidental contact, right? Like you lift your knee to shoot a layup like you teach four-year-olds that, right? Offensive foul and then a legit defensive foul for D'Lo's sixth foul of the game. He fouls out in overtime. And then the keys get turned back over to Anthony Edwards because Ant had mostly deferred. He took a couple shots down the stretch in the fourth quarter, but understood, I think, it really seemed like Ant had the wherewithal to understand that this team's, the Wolves' run came with him on the bench and was kind of allowing D'Lo and Nas and others to initiate late in the fourth quarter. And Golden State was giving Nas Reed open threes throughout the game. He ended up shooting eight threes, and I put in my notes from late fourth quarter overtime, this turned into like a Nas Reed shooting gallery for a minute because the Warriors were just leaving him open, and I was like, all right, I guess I'll shoot it, and actually passed up a couple shots because, and this was early in the game too, actually. Golden State was leaving Nas open and, you know, understanding that like, hey, he's not Karl-Anthony Towns, and you know, Nas like has been really, really good lately, but hasn't been shooting the three very well of late. He's 32% on the season coming into the game and actually was only 2 of 8 from three in this game too. So that number is going to go down, believe it or not, the 2 of 8, or I guess that's right at about that same number. But Golden State was content to leave Nas open. So he just kept shooting the ball. And late in the fourth quarter, he hit a big three from the left slot. And then, you know, from that point forward, he wasn't making shots as much until we'll get to the overtime period here in a minute. Played, you know, had that massive dunk, the offensive rebound and dunk at the end of the game. But all that to say, Ant was deferring appropriately. And then in overtime, I thought Anthony Edwards played extremely well. The Wolves were up one with a couple minutes left in overtime. Ant comes down, hits a really tough, kind of a short jumper. Next time down, they're up three. Ant is getting trapped. Well, it's not. Technically, it's supposed to be a trap. It's kind of how the Wolves have defended Luka Doncic. A lot of teams defend Luka and James Harden and guys like that, and how teams are starting to defend Ant, which is send two at him at the top of the circle and just try and get him to give the ball up. And he had been deferring. He had been deferring for the most part appropriately. Like, I think he was making the right choice, but he just decided, screw it, I'm going to go to the basket. And he did. He hit this kind of whirling dervish, tough, I think it was a left-handed shot at the rim, fell down, didn't get the foul call. I don't know that he really was fouled, but it was like this moment of, man, he is exhausted, but he pushed the Wolves lead to five. They didn't look back. I mean, Golden State got it to within three, but then I don't want this to get lost. He comes down, the crowd's going nuts. The Wolves are up three. Everyone wants to see Ant hit the step back dagger, right? Like he did the other night, Saturday against the Kings, hit the step back dagger, seal the game. The crowd goes nuts. You know that Ant wants that, right? Like that's what he wants to happen. That's how it should play out with the Wolves' best player on the floor at the moment at the end of the game over Steph Curry or, you know, whoever. Instead, Ant does the right thing. He defers to a wide open Nas Reed in the corner, would have sealed the game with a three. Nas misses it, but it rims out directly back to him. He rebounds it, goes in for a dunk to seal the game off the offensive rebound. The Wolves go up by five with, you know, just a handful of seconds left. And no, Ant doesn't get the assist. Nas is the one that gets the headline, and rightfully so. Not, I feel great for Nas. He played great. We'll talk more about him here in a minute, too. But Ant made the right play down the stretch, and I don't want that to get lost. He did the right thing a few weeks ago when he passed to Jaden McDaniels, and Jaden missed the three. Similar situation, but this time it worked out because he made the right basketball play. The Warriors were scrambling to try and contest the three. We're out of position to rebound. And the Wolves were able to get the rebound, the offensive putback, because Ant did the right thing. The Warriors were so keyed in on Ant, and rightfully so, but Edwards made the right decision. So fantastic fourth quarter stretch from D'Angelo Russell. Very good fourth quarter from Nas. Big three down the stretch from Nas. Big offensive rebounded dunk for Nas to seal the game. Ant made a couple of big baskets late in overtime and deferred at the right time on the last offensive possession for Minnesota that led to the Nas game-sealing offensive rebound and dunk. Very impressive performance from all three of those guys. They will make appearances on Studs and Duds here when we get to the end of the show here today. A couple of other observations, things I want to cover here next before we get to individual studs and duds. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to us by our friends over at FanDuel. This year, the only app you need at your Super Bowl party is FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. We're really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On because they're the number one sportsbook in America. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. Download FanDuel now so you can bet Super Bowl 57 with a no-sweat first bet. You'll get up to $3,000 back and bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel lets you bet on everything from the money line to point spreads to who will score a touchdown. The FanDuel Sportsbook app is a safe, secure, and super easy app to use. Best of all, you can get paid your winnings instantly. And the Super Bowl is the best time to get involved. I like everything. Everything about the Super Bowl and betting goes hand in hand. And of course, basketball too. Like the Wolves have a big weekend coming up, or you know, I guess the next 10 days or so really leading into the All-Star break is massive for the Wolves. Get involved on FanDuel. Just join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/lockdown and you'll claim your no sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/lockdown. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. All right, additional observations from this Wolves win over the Warriors. Steph started this game really hot. He had, I believe, three or four of his five threes that he made in the game were in the first quarter. He hit that one that I mentioned off the top of the show, that like pirouette three with Jaden McDaniels staying on him, staying in front of him, locking him down. But not really, because it's Steph Curry. He hit a couple in transition, initiated in transition. Like Steph, it just felt like it was going to be one of those nights. And then Steph had 5 3-pointers at halftime. I think he had 21 points at halftime, and he finished with 29 and no more made threes. He had a couple big layups down the stretch, you know, did Steph things, but not the Steph things that are, you know, 3-pointers, that are 29 footers, right? Steph finished with 29 and 10, but only had 3 assists to 4 turnovers, had 5 fouls in this game, shot 5 of 12 outside the arc. And the 29 points came on 21 shots. Klay Thompson was only 3 of 13 from the field, 2 of 7. Outside the arc. Jordan Poole, 1 of 5 outside the arc. The Wolves holding the Warriors to 31.4% from three. That's not even a minor miracle. That's just a straight miracle. The Golden State Warriors came into this game. I talked about this on Wednesday's show when I previewed the matchup. Golden State's number one in the league in 3-point attempts per game, number two in 3-point attempt rate. They play at the fastest pace in the league, and they came in shooting 38% from three, which is the fifth best 3-point shooting percentage for any team in the league, and they were just 31.4% in this game. Again, I mean, Klay and Jordan, actually, Warriors starters not named Steph Curry combined were 4 of 16 from 3-point range, so 33%. Steph himself was 5 of 12. So the Wolves did a really good job defending the 3-point line as the game wore on, and I actually thought, for the most part, they contested really well. I don't think it was just the Warriors missing wide-open shots. Now, certainly, Steph, Klay, et cetera, don't need to be wide open to make threes. They can make contested threes. So there's absolutely some good fortune there too. But the Wolves played well, really third, fourth quarter overtime. They played really well defensively. I mean, they gave up 71 points in the first half. Third quarter, fourth quarter overtime combined, they only gave up 43 points, which is incredible. Let me say that again. 71 points in the first half, third quarter, fourth quarter, and overtime combined, 43 combined points. I had to do that math twice to make sure I didn't do that wrong, but that's 100% correct. And that, I think, had every bit to do with the Wolves actually doing a really good job defensively. And D'Angelo Russell was part of it. I thought he locked in defensively. Jaden McDaniels, battling apparently through whatever illness was ailing him on Monday as well, played 38 minutes, you know, was kind of having shorter stints. They took him out of the game a little bit more frequently. Austin Rivers played 28 minutes off the bench. This was probably one of Austin's, five or six best games. I mean, he had that stretch back in, was it like mid-December that was really good from Austin Rivers. But like this was a really nice game defensively for him, offense, like all the way around. Really good Austin Rivers game. He was part of that perimeter defense for the Wolves down the stretch, or second half entirely for the Wolves. I thought they did a really good job. Holding Golden State to 31% from the three-point line is not an easy thing to do. Something the Wolves did not do well, let me shift that. Something they did do well was they only had 11 turnovers in this game. Six of them were by Ant, so another high turnover game for Edwards. But again, ball in his hands a lot. This game, it didn't seem quite as heinous as it did on Monday when it came to Ant's turnovers. So he had more than half the Wolves' turnovers as a team. They only committed 11 turnovers. However, they gave up, and this is crazy, 24 points on those 11 turnovers. And Golden State, again, plays at the fastest pace in the league, so that's the biggest reason for that. Live ball turnovers, obviously, and the Wolves' transition defense. It's a really deadly combination, which is exactly why the Wolves could not give the ball up any more than they did. They could not afford to turn it over more than that many times. And Golden State's actually, defensively, I mean, they've got some issues. I mean, they're middle of the pack, generally, in most metrics. But they're very middle of the pack in terms of turnover percentage as well. They're 13th in the league in turnover percentage. The Wolves are one of the worst teams in the league in terms of turning the ball over. They only turned it over 11 times. But, again, Golden State, more than 2 points per possession on those turnovers, which is absolutely insane. A lot of that is the live ball turnovers. Golden State being good in transition. The Wolves being bad in transition defensively. And yet the Wolves are able to survive that. Another stat that was surprising and not in the Wolves' favor was free throw shooting. Golden State does not get to the free throw line. They're actually 30th in the league in free throw rate. Their offense was coming into this game 30th. They attempt the least number of free throws based on their field goal percentage of any team in the league, but they shot 34 free throws in this game. The Wolves, I said this on the postcast with Marnie, it feels like the Wolves commit more fouls than anybody, but actually they're 20th in terms of opponent free throw rate. So not good. They're still bottom 11 in terms of allowing opponents to shoot free throws. But Golden State doesn't get to the line that often. They got 34 free throw attempts in this game because the Wolves could not defend without fouling. Now, I will say I thought the whistle was a little Golden State had a few more calls than I would have liked to see them get. And the Wolves, I think, probably earned a few more. Nobody on the Wolves shot more than 6 free throw attempts in this game. But would it have mattered? Because for the second straight game, the Wolves were miserable from the charity stripe. The Wolves had 24 free throw attempts, but they only made 13 of them. So they were one shot better than 50%, 54.2% from the free throw line of this game for the Wolves. So considering how many the Warriors shot, and the Warriors shot it at 79%, the Wolves are a minus 14 in made free throw differential in this game, a minus 14. They gave the Warriors 14 more points in terms of made free throws because Golden State got to the line so much and the Wolves missed so many free throws. They gave them 14 points in free throws and 24 points in points off turnovers, which again was more because of Golden State's efficiency in terms of transition offense and taking advantage of Wolves' miscues than it was, you know, an inordinate number of Wolves' mistakes. The Wolves only had the 11 turnovers. And yet somehow the Wolves staged this fourth quarter comeback, down 14 early in the fourth. They force overtime and then, for the most part, control overtime and end up winning by 5 after the extra session. So very weird that the Wolves, just weird they did so well not turning the ball over. Weird that the Warriors scored so much off turnovers. Weird that the Warriors got to the line so much and that the Wolves, again, were so bad at the line in terms of free throw percentage. And they were really bad on Monday. And coming into this game, the Wolves are actually, I mean, they were 22nd in the league in free throw percentage, 77% as a team, but there's really no reason they should be that bad, right? Obviously, having Karl Anthony Towns out, he was actually shooting 88% from the line before he got hurt this year, but having Towns out hurts. D'Lo doesn't get to the line enough for his good free throw percentage to really help the Wolves. So you're talking about guys, you know, Ant is okay, 76% at the line. You know, Rudy's not good, obviously didn't play in this game. All that to say, the Wolves continue to leave points at the free throw line, and that's going to be something to pay attention to if they continue to play these close games, which they're likely to do. You know, Orlando Friday, very winnable game, but we've seen that song and dance before from the Wolves in winnable games. But then you get a couple against Denver, you get Memphis again soon, you get Dallas upcoming, Utah, teams that are good or very good, and you got to make your free throws. This was like the first game in a while, it feels like the Wolves didn't have any technical fouls, by the way, somewhat surprisingly. But all that to say, interesting stuff. Like some of the peripheral numbers in this game were really interesting. But going back to my first point of the segment, good 3-point shooting defense, or good 3-point, you know, good job defending the 3-point line. Good job on Steph Curry in the second half. Really good job on Klay Thompson, you know, mostly defending some of those off ball actions and trying to run Klay off screens. I thought Minnesota mucked things up pretty well. All right, let's close the show by doing individual studs and duds. We're going to do that here next. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to us by our title sponsors over at Prize Picks. If you had taken Naz Reid points over or rebounds over, you would have been in great shape if you had done that prior to or for Wednesday night's win over the Warriors. Naz was fantastic. If you're not familiar with Prize Picks, it's a ton of fun. It's really, really easy to use too. You just pick 2 to 6 players, and if they'll score more or less points than their Prize Picks projections, you can win up to 25 times your money on any entry. No competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available. Prize Picks offers projections on any sport that you watch. That, of course, includes the NBA as well as the NFL. You can play the big game for the NFL here upcoming. NHL, any college sports, once we get into baseball season, you can do your entries in less than 60 seconds. It really is that easy. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can get a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code LOCKEDON. For instance, if you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, they'll give you $50. Don't forget to enter the promo code LOCKEDON at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. All right, individual studs and duds for this one. Not too hard to figure this one out. Number one for me has to be Naz Reid. Naz was fantastic. 24 points on 22 shots, which is, you know, not as efficient as you'd like it to be. He did miss some of those shots in the fourth quarter. But turning in a 24-point, 13-rebound, 4-assist game with only one single turnover and not really being in foul trouble all night in place of Rudy Gobert in a game when you absolutely needed him is super important. And also his bat, Luka Garza backed him up in this game. No Nate Knight. Garza played all the backup center minutes and didn't really play all that well. Was active. I mean, you know, did Garza stuff in that regard, but missed open shots. Didn't score at all. Actually, the only Wolves player to not score in this game that played. It was that much more important that Naz played extremely well for his 35 minutes. And again, you know, Golden State was daring him to shoot the ball, and he did for the most part, just 2 of 8 on threes and just 2 of 4 at the line. But 24, 13, and 4, one steal, one block, only one turnover, was a +5 in 35 minutes, was really, really important. Had the third best plus minus of any Timberwolves player in this game. Very good Naz Reid game. I already kind of waxed poetic about his close, his shooting gallery performance late. But I also don't want to lose sight of those two buckets he hit during that D'Lo heater early in the fourth quarter. Naz hit a couple really big ones. He hit one that right before D'Lo got hot, then he bookended it with another bucket that got the Wolves the lead, and then hit the big three late in the fourth, and then had the big offensive rebound and dunk to seal the game in late in overtime. A really good performance from Naz. D'Angelo Russell also has to be a stud for this game. There were issues. He only had 2 assists to 3 turnovers in this game. The defense was spotty early, but I thought very good down the stretch from D'Lo. You know, a couple of his fouls were silly. I think a couple of them were iffy calls. 29 points on 23 shots isn't super efficient, but 7 of 17 on three-pointers it's something. Like, it's not a bad number, right? You'd love him to do more than, you know, 17 threes to 6 two-pointers, didn't get to the line at all. He did hit a couple tough buckets in the paint, though, actually. He hit one driving layup that was impressive, also missed one. Like, I thought he got in there, weirdly, in a game when he shot 17 threes. Like, he had a couple aggressive moves as well. Just a good D'Lo game, and they obviously don't win this game if he doesn't score 14 points in, like, a really short span of time early in the fourth when they're down 14. I mean, hitting 4 threes and getting as hot as he did, like, the Wolves needed that. And D'Angelo Russell provided. I'm going to cheat. I'm going to go 4 studs because this was such a nice win. Anthony Edwards has to get one. This was not his best game. It wasn't what we've seen for the most part over the past 2 weeks or even the past 6 weeks. But I already talked about his big 2 baskets in overtime, the big pass to Naz that led to the game-sealing dunk. 27 points on 26 shots, 6 turnovers. Like, that doesn't sound great. But this was a great example of a really good player that's borderlining on superstardom, potential to be an all-star, just not quite having what he typically does and not being able to carry the team in the way that you would maybe expect him to, fair or unfair, but still contributing to a big win. And, you know, 27 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, and a block. Just 2 of 11 on threes. He was 8 of 15 on two-pointers. Fine. Like, he had a couple tough mid-rangers, also a couple ill-advised mid-range jumpers. I think we're seeing that, the ill-advised mid-range jumper, kind of slide a bit more back into Ant's shot repertoire. And he makes so many of them that, you know, I think Chris Finch has decided to kind of look the other way, just let Ant do his thing. And that's probably the right call. But, you know, the shot selection could have been tightened a little bit for Ant in this game. 5 of 6 at the line, which was a nice bounce back after a rough free throw shooting performance on Monday. But I gave all the reasons why I liked Ant's game late in this one. Even though he was quiet for stretches, some iffy decisions, 6 turnovers, I liked the Ant game. He has to be a stud for this game. I think he played well overall. The last one is Austin Rivers. I talked about him already, but he led the team in 28 minutes with a plus 15 plus minus. Or sorry, he was second to Kyle Anderson's plus 17. But Austin had 10 points, 5 assists, and 0 turnovers in this game. He also added 4 rebounds, which is big. The Wolves as a team actually rebound pretty well. They're only a minus 5 in total rebounds in this game. But Austin shot 3 of 6. He was 2 of 3 on threes. Hit a 3-pointer when the Wolves were down 14. He hit a 3 to get them within 11 and kind of kickstart that run where D'Lo got ultra hot. 10 points, 2 of 3 from 3, 3 of 6 from the floor. Perfect 2 of 2 at the line. 5 assists, 4 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block, no turnovers, and a plus 15 in 28 minutes. Very good defense on the perimeter from Austin Rivers. And I ripped on him the other night. I think it was the Kings game. I think it was just Monday. It was either Monday or Saturday, which I know they won Saturday, but one of those games I ripped on Austin Rivers' defense and was talking about how I thought he was always a little overrated defensively, and it could be that, plus being a little bit a half step slow at the stage in his career. This was a good Austin Rivers performance. Like, I thought he was good defensively. Not what we saw the other night when I thought he struggled. So important for him to have these strong games, especially when the Wolves are still shorthanded. No Jordan McLaughlin, you know, Torian Prince still kind of working back from the ankle and didn't have his best game. This was a good Austin performance. No real duds for me in this one. I mean, like, Jalen Noel was a minus 11. Nobody else on the Wolves was worse. I guess Ant was a minus 9. I didn't think Jalen played all that bad. Luka Garza, not great. I guess if I had to name one, it'd be Luka. 0 of 3 shooting in 13 minutes, 3 boards, 2 assists. And he missed both his free throw attempts, I guess, is what I'd say. But, like, it wasn't like an actively bad performance from Garza. So no real duds for me in this one, unless you want to count Garza's performance. Very nice win for the Timberwolves. And I know Golden State's not, you know, Golden State yet, but they could be at any moment. And Steph Curry still did Steph Curry things early in this game. The Wolves could have packed up their ball and went home, and they fought and they won this game. Golden State had won 3 straight. They're in a virtual tie now for Minnesota in the West. They've split the season series to this point, the Wolves and Warriors. So a big win for a lot of reasons for Minnesota. They're now, you know, however far back you want to play this game, but they've won, you know, what, 12 of their last 15 or 12 of their last 16 now. They've won 4 out of the last 5 and, you know, play that game all the way back. But this was big to bounce back from a disappointing overtime loss to the Kings on Monday. Now you get Orlando Friday, and we all know what that means, which is the Wolves could play down to their competition. We'll break that down. We'll preview the matchup on Friday's show, the Wolves Magic matchup. Earlier this season, the Wolves did beat Orlando in Orlando by 18. Back in mid-November. So this is, of course, the last time we'll see the Magic this year. But hey, the Orlando team, they're not awful. They're 20-32. Anyway, we'll break that down Friday. But it's a game they really have to win because they've dropped so many of these stupid games to the Pistons and the Spurs and the Rockets. Like, they just got to win this game. They can't afford to look ahead. You know, Denver, 6 p.m. Sunday game at Target Center to close a 6-game homestand, and then the national TV game at Denver on Tuesday, and then Utah, Memphis, Dallas, playoff team after playoff team. Orlando's big. You got to win that game Friday. We'll break down that matchup. We'll preview, you know, what's upcoming on the schedule, all that stuff on Friday's show. So be sure to follow and subscribe to Locked On Wolves wherever you listen to podcasts. And again, a big thank you to those of you that do make this show your first listen every day. Of course, you can find this show everywhere. It's free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. You can also watch on the Locked On Sports Minnesota app on both Roku and Amazon Fire TV. If you have a Roku, please download the app and go ahead and check out Locked On Wolves there. Or if you have an Amazon Fire TV as well, or Amazon, I believe Fire Stick as well, go ahead and find the Locked On Sports Minnesota app. Watch this show and all the other great Locked On Minnesota shows. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. And also at B Beacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Of course, the Locked On Wolves podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Now make your second listen, the game-to-game NBA podcast, every moment, every top performance, and every result. Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the NBA with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NBA, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.